This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه تعالى من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينًا عميًا وآذانًا صمًا وقلوبًا غلفًا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جازيت نبيًا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead. And he whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both his slave and his messenger. From the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our forefather Adam alayhi salam, and Iblis rejected the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate to Adam, when Iblis rejected God himself, an enmity was created between Iblis, between the devil, and between Adam and his offspring. And so from that moment, Iblis began to plot and to plan against Adam alayhi salam and against his offspring until he ejected them from paradise. And so when Allah azza wa jal sent the prophets and sent the messengers to their nations, Iblis remained plotting and planning against the prophets and against the messengers and against truth and against guidance. And so every prophet found themselves facing wars of opposition, physical wars and psychological wars, social wars and information wars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that they desired and intend to extinguish the light of God with their mouths. But Allah continued to support His prophets and His messengers against all of the animosity and the abuse and the lies that they faced in their lives and that were charged against them, in an attempt to divide the people and to create hatred between them. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the metaphysical laws that Allah has established the heavens and the earth through. That the days alternate between the days in which there is victory for the prophets and the messengers and the people of truth and the people of guidance. A victory because of their adherence to truth and guidance. And between days of hardship, of pain, of suffering, to test the believers and to solidify their commitment to the truth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to our Prophet in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. And such there has never come to any messenger except to any messenger before them, except that they said, he is a madman or he is a magician. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَوَاصَوْ بِهِ, that was it suggested to them. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking rhetorically. He is asking a rhetorical question, saying because of the similarity between the abuse and the hardship and the curses that were directed towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are completely parallel to the abuse and the curses that were directed to the prophets and the messengers before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is asking, was it suggested to Quraysh? Meaning, was it the opponents of Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, were they resurrected? And did they go to Quraysh and suggest to them the same exact tactics that were used against the prophets before to be used against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Atawasaw bih, Was it suggested to them? And yes, today, in our day, when we examine the hatred and the Islamophobia that is directed towards Muslims all around the world, and yes, even in this country, although many people are in denial, but perhaps now they aren't. Even in this country, the Islamophobia that surrounds us and that targets us, we see the same similarities remain. And it's as if the Abu Jahl and that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab are resurrected and suggesting the same tactics to the Abu Jahls and the Abu Lahab of today. And so how similar is yesterday to today? They stood in front of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, and they said, أخرجوا آل لوط من قريتكم إنهم أناس يتطهرون. That expel Lut and his family from your city. Indeed, they are people who try to keep pure. And so today we see them screaming about deporting Muslims and the believers, about telling us to go back home, even if we are born in this country, even if we are natives of this country, generation after generation, they want you to leave just like they wanted the prophets before to leave. And so how similar is yesterday to today? And they stood before Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and they said, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك إلا وما نراك تبعك إلا الذين هم أراذلنا بادي الرأي. That they said, the eminent people, the elites of society amongst them who disbelieved, they said, we do not see you, O Nuh, except like a man amongst us. And we do not see you followed except by those who we see as the lowest amongst us and at the first suggestion. Meaning they told Nuh alayhi salam, no matter how wealthy or how honorable your followers are, we see them all as less than human. We see them all as the lowest of society. And we see them all as being brainwashed into following your religion. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. And we don't see any merit for you over us. Meaning no matter how much you've contributed to society, no matter how successful you are as a doctor or an entrepreneur or a scientist or a lawyer, they never saw them as having merit. They didn't see them with any contribution to society. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. We don't see any merit for you over us. And again, how similar is yesterday to today? And they said to Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun, قَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمْ الْمُثْلَى. They said, indeed, these are two magicians who want to drive you out of their land with their magic, with their sorcery, and to take you away from your most exemplary ways. Yes, Fir'aun warned the people that Musa and Harun, they wanted to change their way of life. They wanted to change and impose their own laws over the people. And today they accuse us of the very same. And so how similar is yesterday to today? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to our Prophet Muhammad, مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. That it is not said to you except exactly what was said to the prophets before you. The hatred has not changed. The tactics have not changed. The slogans have not changed. All that has changed is the time and the place. But as believers, we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when He said, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That Allah will extend His light even if the rejectors hate it. And so when a terrorist, and he is a terrorist, walks into a mosque and he begins to kill its peaceful worshippers, it should pain us and it should hurt us, but it should never discourage us, because there have always been Islamophobes, and there have always been justice-ophobes, and there have always been truth-ophobes, and there have always been mercy-ophobes. They have always existed, and they have always fought the people of truth and guidance in righteousness. And so Allah's victory for us is a promised victory, and it is for those who endure pain and endure suffering for their belief in Allah alone. And Allah says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That it is incumbent upon us to provide victory for the true believers. And so Allah has promised victory for the believers, just as He promised them hardship, just as He promised them a loss of lives in their path and in their struggle for truth and justice, just as He promised us above all that He will not lose the reward of those who strive for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, until, meaning until the moment that all of the hardship and the abuse that they have faced, until they reached the moment that the messengers despaired and they were certain that they were denied, there came to them our victory, and we saved those whom we willed. Until they despaired, not from Allah, not from God, but they despaired from the people. They thought that the people, despite all of the suffering and the pain and the attempts and the struggle for the sake of the truth, that the people would continue rejecting them and denying them and fighting against them. And until they reached that moment of hardship, that moment of pain, that moment of despair, when they thought there was no way for them to physically succeed, that's when they found the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what they thought was impossible suddenly became possible by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah reminds us, and He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلْ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That all that we relate to you from the stories of the messengers is that which makes your heart firm. And it's in examining the stories of the Prophets and of the messengers that the lesson and the lessons that Allah has given us in those stories that make the path before us clear, that allow us to understand the reality of despair, the reality of suffering, the reality of pain that we see in the world today. And through the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see how he saw the path before him to be clear. How he saw that no matter the obstacles that he was facing, no matter the difficulties in his way, no matter the hardships that were in his path, that his path was clear, and that was to calling the people to Tawheed, calling them to the oneness of Allah, calling them to truth, calling them to justice, and calling them to mercy. So no matter what they faced and encountered, no matter what he encountered in calamities and in war or in rejection or in abuse from the murder of his companions or their martyrdom, no matter what he faced from hardship and from affliction, he still found the path before him to be clear. That the goal is to direct the hearts towards the worship of their Creator and towards the fulfillment of justice in society. And that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would abide by this path, no matter who was killed from his companions, no matter who was abused, no matter who was banished, as long as they remained struggling towards that goal. And all of these hardships and afflictions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was struck with, from the first moment that he claimed Islam, that he called the people towards it, he was tested in the torture of his companions, and the loss of their lives, and the loss of their homes, and the loss of their wealth. He was tested personally and socially, even with his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once he entered himself into a place of worship, he entered into the Kaaba, and he prostrated in front of the Kaaba. And he did so, never having abused or cursed or harmed the idols of the people of Mecca. And how can he curse them when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in the Quran, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهُ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That do not insult though that they invoke other than Allah, lest that they invoke Allah in enmity and without knowledge. He never cursed or abused their gods. And yet when he made takbir, and he prayed, and he prostrated in Mecca, a group of Quraysh gathered amongst each other. And they said, مَنْ يَمْضِي مِنْكُمْ إِلَىٰ سَلَى الْجَزُورِ. That who will go and bring the placenta and the insides of such and such a camel and bring it and throw it over him. And they brought this placenta and they threw it over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came with this blood and with this filth and they threw it upon the head of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he prostrated. And he was the purest amongst them in clothing. And he was the most honorable of them in lineage. And he was the finest soul and the finest scent amongst them. And yet they came and they threw this over his head. And he would feel the blood rolling down his head as he was prostrating. But he remained in his prostration, beseeching Allah, praying to Allah and worshipping Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he faced this intense abuse for no reason other than his desire to worship Allah and to prostrate to Allah. And so how similar is yesterday to today?
and not a single one of his companions could come near him or to help him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, لو كان لي منعة. He said, if I only had 10 people, a small group of people who would help me and support me, I would have rushed and removed this from the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But not a single one of them could move, afraid of the abuse that they were going to face, afraid that they themselves would be abused and killed if they tried to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was only his daughter who was able to run up to him and to remove it from his head and to wipe the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another day, Uqba or someone else grabbed the robe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dragging him by it, threatening to unveil the Prophet and to remove his clothing in front of all of the people. And he would taunt and mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Anta alladhi taz'am wa annaka nabi," you are the one who thinks that you are a prophet, while he's grabbing him by his clothes. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resisting him, pushing him off, and the person kept doing this, and no one in Mecca could come and intercede upon this man of noble lineage and noble birth while he is being mocked in the worst of ways in front of all of the people. And despite all of this abuse, and despite all of this persecution, the path before the Prophet ﷺ remained clear. That he would remain a voice of truth, a voice that called the people to monotheism, a voice that called towards justice, a voice that called towards protecting the weak. And as long as the goal was clear, the goal was purely for the sake of God, then he was willing to bear the worst of abuse and the worst of persecution for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his abuse was not only physical, it was even social. And so Quraysh went after the husbands of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they intimidated them and they bribed them until the husbands of Zainab and Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, and they ordered them to divorce the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it was not enough that they were harming him and abusing him physically, if it was not enough that they were harming him and abusing him with their words and with their hands and with their sticks and with their stones, they wanted to go beyond that and to harm him even in his family and even with his daughters. And so the husbands of Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum divorced their daughters, divorced his daughters, divorced their wives. And it was only the husband of Zainab, Abu al-As, who rejected and refused to divorce his wife. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet for this hardship by replacing the husbands of his daughters with those who were even better, with Uthman radiallahu anhu and with Ali radiallahu anhu. And he persevered. And he would walk through the streets of Mecca and he would hear the screams of a woman. And he rushed to her. And you would see this woman tied to the trunk of a tree, and that she was struck, and that she was whipped, and that blood was all over her body, and that her clothing were torn. And he would see her young son being tortured in front of her eyes. That if the physical torture and abuse was not enough for her, they wanted her to see and to hear the screams of her son as he is being tortured in front of her. And he saw her husband also hanging on the tree, also being whipped and lashed and abused. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had nothing to help them with, had no physical means to support them. And so all he could say to them was, "Sabran ala Yasir, inna maw'idukum al-jannah." All that he could say to them is, "Patience, O family of Yasir, indeed your appointed place is paradise." And they remained patient, because remaining on this path is better than losing it. They remained patient, because speaking the truth in pain is better than living a life of lies. It's better than living comfortably surrounded in lies and surrounded in oppression. And he walks sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he hears the torture of Bilal radiallahu anhu, as the tears and the blood is dripping down his body, and his body is being burnt by the stones, the burning stones of Mecca. And Bilal looks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with pain in his eyes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no means to protect him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted by not only the assassination of his uncle Hamza, but the inhumane mutilation of the body of his uncle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted with the hypocrites of Medina, spreading lies about his wife. And he was persecuted with attempt after attempt to kill him and to poison him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Prophet, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُوا سَوَاءً, that the people of evil, they wish for you to disbelieve just as they disbelieve, so that you will be the same. Yes, the people of evil, they fight you until you assume their evil. They fight you and they are upset if you are upstanding, if you are righteous, if you are spiritual, if you are kind, if you are merciful, if you are demanding of justice, then they will fight you with everything they have, because you have become a reminder for everything that they are not. فَتَكُونُوا سَوَاءً, they want you to be exactly the same. If they are falling in evil, they want you to be in the same evil. If they are falling in inhumanity, if they are falling in every type of lack of righteousness, they want you to be lockstep with them, so that you don't remind them of how far they are from the mercy of God and the grace of God and the compassion of God. And so he fought, and he was fought, and he was sieged with war after war, with battle after battle. He fought in Hunayn. He fought in Al-Khandaq and was sieged until the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him came to him. And he is standing above Mecca, and he can see all of the places that he and his companions were abused. And he can see the tree where Sumayyah and her husband were hung upon and speared and killed. And he can see where Bilal was dragged with the stones. And he can see where the entrails and the placenta of that camel was thrown upon his head. And he can see where they were boycotted and driven out of Mecca, and where the people refused to sell them food or water. And he looks at them, and he sees the people of Mecca. He sees the perpetrators of this evil. He sees those who committed these crimes. And he has not forgotten its pain, and he's not forgotten its hardship. And he says to them, مَا تَظُنُّونِي أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ, what do you think that I will do to you? You know the crimes that you've committed. You know the abuse that you have directed to me and my daughters. You know the persecution and the torture that you have committed when you kept Muslims chained in your homes for decades. While the Muslims were in Medina, they kept people chained in their homes, torturing them for decades. You know what you did to Bilal. You know what you did to Khabbab. You know what you did to Abu Dharr. You know what you did to Sumayyah and her family. You know the crimes that you have done. مَا تَظُنُّونَ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ, what do you think I'm going to do to you? And so they spoke in fear and in humiliation. And they said to him, أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ إِبْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ, they said, you are the honorable brother, the son of an honorable brother. That yesterday we were calling you a madman. Yesterday we were calling you the worst of the people. Now today we realize and we recognize that you are indeed the most honorable amongst us, the son of the most honorable amongst us. And so the Prophet ﷺ, in that moment, he turns away all of the memories of pain and of punishment, all of the memories of torture and of abuse, and he tells them, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. He tells them, go, for you are free. He doesn't curse them. He doesn't take their wealth. He doesn't exact a whip for a whip. He doesn't exact a lash for a lash. He doesn't exact a murder for a murder. Rather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, no, go and leave. So long as he knows that they've truly left the path, the practice of evil, then the goal is to keep them upon the path of good, not to exact revenge. As long as they have truly abandoned harming the believers, then there's no reason to exact revenge, because the goal is still clear. The goal is that they worship Allah and they establish justice and they establish mercy between one another. And it's not about taking revenge from each other. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Brothers and sisters, after what has happened in Quebec, that a terrorist entered into a masjid and began killing its worshippers in cold blood. They said that he left 3 times and returned to recharge his weapon, to come back and to shoot more people. He even shot one of the brothers who was leading the prayer. He shot him in his back while his 7-year-old daughter was watching him. And these are the stories that came to me personally from some of our brothers who went there to help them in their time of crisis. Many people are confused and they're wondering, how can all of this hate occur? How can someone hate us so much that they're willing to kill fathers in front of their daughters? That they're willing to kill people prostrating to Allah in peace? But this hate has always existed. The same lies charged against Muslims today by the Islamophobia industry are the very same ones that were said about Musa and about Isa and about Ibrahim and about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just like they talk about kicking out Muslims out of their country, then realize that Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad were not only brothers as messengers, were not only brothers in Tawheed, but rather they were all refugees who were kicked out of their countries. What they're trying to direct to us is what they directed to us before. The lies they say about us today are the lies they said about us yesterday. But just like the prophets and the messengers, we will persevere. And Allah will give us victory. But we will only persevere when we speak the truth and we remain engaged. When we say to ourselves that this was an aberration, this was an isolated incident, Canada is not like this, this is only because what's happening in the US, we are doing ourselves a disservice. No, this hatred has been here in this country and remains here in this country. Before Trump, there was Harper. There was Marois in Quebec. And now there's Kelly Leach. All of them have tried to get votes by pitting people against Muslims. We have to recognize the evil that is here in our society against us. Because the more that we remain silent, the more abuse that we are inviting. And so when a person, and how often have people in our communities, they have been faced with hatred and with bigotry, whether they're in a shopping mall, whether they're in a parking lot, and what do? They remain silent. They don't go to the police. They don't tell anyone about it. And so they're simply encouraging more of this to come. And when people go on the internet and they start saying the worst things about Muslims and encouraging violence against us, again, we remain silent. And so nothing happens. And we create more and more space for this evil to grow. We have to start standing up. We have to start speaking up. Part of speaking up is to say that we are against terrorism and evil and hatred and bigotry when it comes from groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We need to also be against it when it comes from right-wing terrorist groups. And the research is there. CSIS themselves, they produced a report in 2015 saying that right-wing terrorism is a greater threat to Canada than any other form of terrorism. They produced the report, not me. And yet, what have they done about it? Nothing. Because when a white person writes on the internet, "Let's go kill Muslims," they say to themselves, "He doesn't really mean it." But when a Muslim person says hate, different types of hate things, or they share propaganda from ISIS, that person's on a list, and CSIS is watching them, and they're put on no-fly list, and they're probably put in jail. There is an inequality when it comes to our legal system. There is an inequality when it comes to law enforcement. And that is not going to change if we're not engaged and if we're not speaking up. There's no easy solution. And what I'm most afraid of is that this incident happened and that people are going to care about it for a couple of weeks or a month and then they're going to forget about it. But if you want this to change, you need to be engaged. You need to donate to groups like NCCM who are fighting, lobbying for our sake. You need to yourself be engaged. That when there's an incident and I say, "Brothers, we have to go to the school board to deal with this issue," that you show up. That when we say we all have to email this media outlet for what they did over this issue, that we all email them. You have to be engaged. If you're not engaged, you are the one leaving space for these groups to keep getting louder and louder in their hatred. And wallahi, brothers, I will speak about myself. This past week, I've barely slept, because I've been working on many of these issues, and also because I've been asking myself, Who is the one who is responsible for that blood? Yes, it is that terrorist. Yes, it is these white right-wing white supremacist groups. But is it also us? For how much we've been quiet, for how much we've been silent, for how much we haven't been working for the sake of Allah and for fighting against these groups of evil. We need to tell our politicians, just like we are against terrorism and bigotry from the Middle East, we're against it from the far right as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا